His presence this morning. In His presence there is fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Father, for bringing me into your presence to enjoy fullness of joy, pleasures at your right hand. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we have given thanks. Will you ask God to speak to you this morning, to break every curse over your life? I'm living here free today. Father, send me your word of liberty. Send me your word of life. Send me your word, for you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Lord, show me the truth this morning, the truth of your word, so I can enjoy my liberty. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, we are praying. Father, we are grateful to you for bringing us into your presence where there is fullness of joy. Thank you for all you did for us in the week that just ended, and for greater things ahead of us in this new week. Receive our praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Now, O Lord, send to us your word of truth that sets free. Thank you for doing it in Jesus' wonderful name. Every saint in the house, say loud amen. Amen. Please give my Jesus a big hand and take your seat. Hallelujah. It's my new dawn era. Congratulations. Welcome to this special anointing service. By the power of God, every yoke around your life shall be destroyed. I'm glad somebody is saying a louder amen. Amen. Raise your hand and say with me, today is that day. Every yoke, every shackle, every chain shall be broken and destroyed from my life by the anointing. Give Jesus another ovation right now. He's worthy. The prophetic focus for this month is, I will restore health unto you. What does that mean? To restore means to bring back. In case your body has been damaged, any organ affected, God said, I will bring it back. Amen. God will bring back your health to you. He said, I will restore health unto you. Jeremiah 30 verse 17. And should in case you have some wounds from the sickness, the disease that ravaged your body, I will heal them. I will heal you of your wounds. And who said so? Let me hear you again. Who said so? In the first service, a lady shared her testimony. She's gone to different places. She's carried fibroid for 10 years. It was time for her to do the surgery. She's gone to echo scan. She's gone to Defense Intelligence Agency clinic and some other place. And she's gone to meet a renowned gynecologist in FCT. They did all the tests and confirmed that the fibroid was there. According to the report, the fibroid is as long as 47 centimeters. One of them, among the others. And she got money from her office to do the surgery. She got there for pre-surgery examination, and here was the doctor in trouble, confused. Where is the fibroid? Or where are the fibroids that we saw before? They looked for them, they couldn't find them again. Any stranger planted by the devil inside you, they will look for them, they won't find them again. Somebody is receiving a miracle right now. Say it. Why? Because God said so. I will restore unto you health, and I will heal you of thy wounds. Our teaching series is captioned, Is There No Balm in Gilead? And we're looking at part 3b in this service. Clearly, God's word is the balm in Gilead, being referred to in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. What is a balm? A balm is a soothing health pharmaceutical provision. It soothes, it relieves. So God's word brings to us relief from physical ailments, from sicknesses and diseases. The more you hear the word, the healthier you become. He sent his word, and the word healed them. But you can graduate from healing to health by listening to more words. One word brings healing. Much words bring health. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, my son, attend to my words. My words. Not hear my word, but attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Keep listening to what God is saying through teachings, through the CDs, through books. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because the words you are hearing, the words you are hearing are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Those that find them, find the word and found your health. The word you find is the foundation to your health. Find the word to found your health. Give a solid foundation to your health. One word will bring you healing, and much worse will take you farther away from sicknesses. Get grafted into the world, and you become drafted from sicknesses. Get grafted in the world, and you will become drafted away from sickness. Say amen, somebody. As I'm speaking the word to you right now, healing is taking place. Health is getting restored. A young man came to church one day. He was sick. His weight has dropped from 90 to 60 kg. And something told him, why don't you locate your village people so that if you die, you can have people to take your corpse home? And he did that. And after that, another voice came to him, why don't you look for a church to go to? And he came to church the first day. We're having 3 days program. The first day he had the word. Second day he had the word. The third day, something turned on his inside. He became wild. And he declared, Satan, enter. Amen. Nothing inspires confidence like the word of God. Satan will never take you for a ride again. And of course, Jesus is the physician. He is the one who gives us the prescription for our freedom. Luke 4:23, Jesus is described as the great physician. Praise God. Now, with this understanding, I'd like you to get to a point of knowing that total health is your right. So, my total health is my right. Point to yourself right now. Say, I have no business with sickness. Good health belongs to me. And say it from now. I have no more business with sickness. I will wake up every day strong and healthy, agile with vitality. You have said it, so it shall be for you. they will not find you lining up in the hospital again. In the precious name of Jesus. What is a right? A right can be described as entitlement. Entitlement. You are entitled to that. It can also be described as benefit. It's your benefit. It's redemption benefit. Once you are born again, you are healed by the power of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2, verse 3 specifically. Who forgiveth all your iniquity and who healed all your diseases. Once you are forgiven, you are entitled to health. Health. So, total health is your right, your entitlement, your benefit, and your heritage. Right means benefit, it means heritage, it means entitlement. That's why we don't beg for healing, we receive healing. So may I receive my healing. Why? Because it is yours. In a home, a servant will beg for a thing, but a son will go to receive it. Say amen. Your son can take anything from the house, but a servant will beg for it. So, as a child of God, you go to take your healing. So may I take my healing? Let me hear you very well. You see, a son has confidence. A servant is timid. Don't be a timid believer. Be a confident child of God. Health is my entitlement. It's my right. It's my own. Be confident as a child of God. But the Bible says this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask him for anything according to his provision, he heareth us. 1 John 5:14. How do we know that health is your right? By the word of God. We are empowered to manifest as sons of God. That's what I'm telling you. You are a son, so you have a right. Sons have right. They have heritage. In a family, if you're a servant, if the man of the house dies, they don't call you to share the inheritance. They excuse you. You stay outside. While sons are sharing the inheritances, you stay outside. You don't come when they are discussing inheritance. God is your father. You are his son. You have a right to it. And God does not have a package of sickness for his children. No. He's given to us all things that makes for life and godliness. He's given us his blessings. Now are we sons of God? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Now we are sons of God, and sons have free access to their heritage. Behold, what manner of love is this that the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Somebody say amen. From scriptures, there are instruments for healing. We have the communion, for instance, for healing. We have the prophetic mantle for healing. But we have what we are considering this morning, the anointing oil. It's an instrument of healing. Now, quickly, what is it in the oil? The anointing oil that heals. Let us appreciate the fact, first of all, that in the anointing oil is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is in the holy anointing oil. What is anointing? Anointing simply means the power of God. The power of God. So when you hear anointing, you are simply saying the power of God. The oil is the instrument for the anointing. That is, the anointing passes through the oil. The oil is passage to the anointing. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13. And Samuel took the bottle of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. He poured the oil, but the Spirit went through the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. From that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. From what day? From the day he was anointed with the oil. So the Holy Spirit passes through the oil to reach out to us. Specifically, therefore, the anointing oil contains the following. Number one, it contains the power of God to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Luke 9:1. Jesus called his disciples and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. Remember, the anointing means the power of God. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And how did we know it's the oil he gave to them? Mark 6:7-13. He called the 12. He began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And in verse 13, they cast out many devils by that power. And anointed with oil. Anointed with oil. Who gave them the oil? Of course, Jesus gave it to them. He gave them the oil. And by that, many that were sick were healed. As you receive today's anointing, no sickness will say no to you. Every disease must obey today. Say loud amen, somebody. What is in the oil? The mystery of the fan and fire. Fire is in the oil. Fan is in oil. It has the capacity to fan off. All of us know fan. When fan is blowing, it blows the wind. When the wind is blown, things that are in hiding are exposed. So every stranger hiding in your system, your liver, your kidney, your throat, your nose, your ear, they will be found out today. Matthew 3:11-12. And the moment they are found out, they will be burnt with unquenchable fire. So fire is in the oil. What is in the oil? Let me hear you very well, please. What's in the oil in your hand? Fire! Praise God. I say praise God. One of our brethren who was operating a clinic had a patient that was sick. The children of this man were tired of taking care of home, so they sent him to the hospital. Constantly urinating. And this doctor did all he could. There was no more he could do. And then he remembered the oil and took the oil and gave the man a shot. And when he took the shot, the urination stopped. So he called the doctor. He said, "Doctor, what's the name of that medicine you gave to me? What's the name of the medicine so I can send them to buy more for me?" The anointing oil burnt the chaff. Today, every chaff operating in your body shall be burned by fire. Number three, the anointing oil contains the Spirit of the Lord that sets the captive free. Today, everyone under any form of captivity shall be set free. Luke 4:18-41. That's what God would do in your life today. Now raise your voice and say with me, I believe in the power contained in the anointing oil for my healing, for my deliverance, for my liberty. Say loud, amen. By this same anointing today, every yoke of your life shall be destroyed. Now, breaking generational curses. Our main object for the day. Every prescription of medical doctor begins with understanding the root of the problem. Until you find the root problem, you can never treat the problem. So they go through diagnosis and analysis before prescription. Let us quickly diagnose this morning from scriptures. What are the root causes of curses? Proverbs 26:2. Everything you see in the physical has a root somewhere. As a bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. That means no curse ever comes into existence without something causing it to happen. You understand, in economics they talk about cost and effect. The cause and effect of something. The tap root of cause is sin. Sin. You cannot be living in sin and not end with a curse. According to scriptures, hand may be joined to hand, the sinner shall never go unpunished. There is no method you can use. There is no peace to the wicked. That's what the scripture says. Genesis chapter 3, from verses 14 to 19, we saw how God cursed the serpent and then cursed the woman and finally cursed the man. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, there was blessing. But chapter 3, curse came to be. Man was living right. There was no cause. When they committed sin, cause came upon. So, cause number one is sin. Number two is ignorance. Ignorance. Satan can cause you to ignore. Now, there are many people who are righteous, but they suffer for ignorance. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Often, people are punished as the result of what they don't know. So you need to be knowledgeable. Number three, cause of sin is disobedience. Disobedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 15 to 68 tells us how people suffer for their disobedience. Every time Satan tempts you to disobey, he wants to push you into punishment. Because the effect of disobedience is punishment. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. Number 4, cause is serving other gods, bowing to idols, charms, enchantments, bowing to idols, or turning human beings to idols in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 9. God is a jealous God. He can destroy somebody for bowing to other gods. And of course, number 5 is wickedness. Wickedness. Evil practices. Evil acts. Social evils, which many people today have legalized. Social evils. Social evils. Hear what the Bible says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever you do is coming back to you. Roll a stone is coming back to you. Dig a pit. Get ready, you'll soon fall into it. We call this the cause of seed time and harvest. Doing to others anything is coming back to you. Sit down to destroy people. Get ready, they will soon destroy you. That's the meaning. Go after somebody's husband. Very soon, they will steal your husband from you too. It follows. Cheat your business partner. Very soon, you lose all the money. Do evil to other people's children. Get ready, your children will soon travel somewhere where they know nobody. They will punish them. It follows. Now, many people don't realize this. And so they run into trouble and they can't trace it to where it comes from. Steal a bed to marry. You can imagine the kind of child that will be delivered from the relationship between you and your wife. A thief, of course. Amen. Rob somebody today, get ready, you'll be robbed tomorrow. It's a law of life. This scripture has been a guide to me over the years. Matthew 17:12. Whatsoever, 7:12 rather, whatsoever you wish that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the golden law of the prophets. How do you feel that somebody steals from you? If you feel bad, then don't steal from another person. You know, today there are a lot of things that people call socialization, especially for big men in authority. One of it is morality. Immorality is common to many people in high places today. They take it as part of life. They go for official journey and ladies are waiting for them. They call them whatever name, but at the end of the event, they know what they do with them in the hotel room. Yes, sir. Your daughter will soon grow old. Amen. Whatsoever you wish that others should do to you, do to them. This has guided me over the years. I told the story of a man in the first service who sincerely came to tell me about this. He was operating a brothel. In that brothel, there were all kinds of stuff there. One day he was going to the hotel to see how businesses was flourishing and see what money he can get out of that. And as he was driving, something said to him, your daughter will soon join them in that place. Ah! Immediately he went to shut down the brothel because he would not want his daughter to be there. I have never met a drug seller, a drug baron, whose children are prospering truly. Most of the time, the children end up in the same trade. As you will have men do unto you, so do unto them. How do we then understand this? A cause is a repercussion to an act of evil or wickedness. If you do evil today, get ready for a curse tomorrow. That's it. And that's why we have ancestral curses. Evil being perpetrated. You know, evil is a seed. It germinates and grows. And depending on the seed, some seed produce 3 weeks after. Some produce 2 years after. Some produce 10 years after. Some produce 50 years after. So you may find somebody suffering for the evil of his parents. That's why I tell people today, if you don't like your life, care for the future of your children. Don't plant evil against the days of your children. Don't. Because when you do evil, people will curse you. If you think it doesn't catch you, it will catch your children. For instance, you employ workers. You have money to pay them, but because of wickedness, you refuse to pay them. Their wives will curse you. Ah, oh God, see how we are suffering. My husband is laboring, and his old guy is taking wine. Oh God, she may not say more than that, but it's registered as a curse. All of this needed to be expanded to us so we can be cautious not to become victims of curses. How do we break generational curses? Number one, therefore, get born again. Get born again. That is, give your life to Jesus. Jesus is your escape route. He is the way out of curses. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way out of curses. He is the truth that sets free. He is the life that erases death. Hebrews 2:3. Ephesians 1:7. In whom also we have redemption, forgiveness of our sin. Galatians 3:13-14. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us by hanging on the tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us in the place of the curses that was given to man in Genesis. Number two, through knowledge, build up a consciousness of your change of lineage. What knowledge does is to create awareness. Knowledge informs you. Ignorance deforms you. You need to gain more knowledge of the provision God has made for you, among which is the fact that you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. You are a new creation. Don't let the old count you. Ephesians 2:19, you belong to the family of God. Your biological root has been submerged by your spiritual root. You belong to the family of God. You are no longer cursable. Say amen, somebody. You must carry that mentality. No one can curse me. No one can curse me. Say amen. Numbers 23:7-8. Balaam was hired to curse the children of Israel. Come curse me, Jacob. Come defy Israel. And verse 8. Balaam said, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? If God does not curse you, no man can curse you. Say amen, somebody. And how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? So you need to build up your mentality. Over and over again, I meet with people who come to say to me, sir, it's like I'm under a curse. I say, who told you you're under a curse? Ignorance told you you're under a curse. Knowledge tells you are under a blessing. When I wake up in the morning, I say to myself, I'm under a blessing today. I'm going under blessing. I'm under a blessing. I'm under a blessing. I'm no longer under a curse. I'm under a blessing. Will somebody say that with me? I'm under a blessing. That is hanging on your head everywhere you go is blessing. What's hanging on your head? Shout it, I'm blessed. Say it again. In Jesus' name. Now, number three, walk in obedience. Walk in obedience. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 3. It shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I commanded this day, that the Lord, in response to your obedience, will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Say amen, somebody. Number three, stay away from sin by walking in the fear of God. Walking in the fear of God. Live righteously. Why? Isaiah 54, 14. In righteousness you shall be established. And as a result, you shall be far from oppression. You shall be far from oppression. Righteousness keeps you away from oppression, from curses of life. You shall be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, because it will not have power to come near you. You know, sin is a magnet to curses. You cannot live in sin and expect curses of life. Walk in the fear of God. You don't know why Balaam couldn't curse Israel? Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 20 down to 23. Let's go. Deuteronomy, Numbers, please. Numbers 23, verse 20 to 23. Behold, I've received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Why? Because he hath not beheld or found iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Therefore, the Lord his God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Therefore, there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? If there is no iniquity in you, there will be nothing to attract to the devil. Now, these same people that could not be caused went into sin in chapter 25 of Numbers. Chapter 25, from verses 1 to 3. They began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. And the children of Israel did it and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal. And as a result, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Sin angers God. Wickedness angers God. God is angry with the wicked every day. If you want to provoke God's favor, live in righteousness. If you want to provoke his anger, step into sin. He will behave as if he doesn't know you before. Walking in the fear of God. Don't touch what God tells you not to touch. Don't live in deceit. Don't live deceiving people. Don't live cheating your neighbors, cheating your co-workers, cheating your business partner. Don't cheat on your neighbor by touching his wife or touching her husband. You know, in those days, you can travel for 1 year and leave your wife with your neighbor to take care of her. But now, in our days, even when you are around, korokoro like this, the man will be doing white eye to your wife. You will not understand the message that he's communicating to her. Very wicked generation. wicked generation. And that's why the causes are everywhere. You see people dying of all kinds of stuff because of their wickedness. You will not be a victim again. Walk in the fear of God like Joseph. Walk in the fear of God like David. Walk in the fear of God like Daniel. And you'll free yourself from causes. Number 5, engage in kingdom stewardship. Why? Because it will give you exemption. Exodus 23, 25, 26, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. He shall bless. He shall bless. So when you serve God, you become uncausable. Uncausable. Blessing is cure to causes. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Those that fear the Lord, they will say to one another, and they will speak one to another, and the Lord will hear them. Book of Remembrance will be opened before them, and God will spare them that serve him, as a man spareth his son that serveth him. Put your head in kingdom service, and curses will no longer be able to trace you. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Number 6, plead for God's mercy. God's mercy is what takes away our messes. God's mercy. In one way or the other, consciously or unconsciously, you find yourself under long evil hanging around you. You may not know the source of it, but you can call for mercy. I pray for mercy over my life. I pray for mercy over my children. Why? Lamentation 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We do our best to be good, but sometimes you find yourself in some errors. Therefore, you need to call for God's mercy. It's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. His compassion faileth not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Call for God's mercy. When you cannot understand the things happening to your life, stagnation here and there, abandoned project here and there, situation getting tighter for you, call for mercy. And when you call for mercy, don't do it like a gentleman and casual. Do like Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And Jesus stood and showed him mercy. God will show you mercy today. God will show you mercy today. Number what? 7. Connect to priestly and prophetic blessing to secure your destiny. You see, one of the reasons why Balaam couldn't curse them was because of Moses. Moses was among them. There are people who cannot be cursed by the devil. So what do? Hide under them. One young man gave his life to Jesus in our church in Ibadan many years ago. He was in the occult. And then he excitedly began to share the testimony of how God delivered him. Then the head of the occult sent a message to him. We hear you claim you are born again and you are sharing our secrets. Get ready. We have built a coffin for you. In 7 days, you will be dead. He knew the meaning of that because he himself had been engaged in killing people like that before. So, this young man said, the God of Oedipo will fight you. The coffin you have built for me, you'll be the one to go inside it. Within 7 days, the long of the short, so the short of the long story is that the man ended in the grave. Help me tell your neighbor, stay undercover. Listen to this also. Those who rebelled against Moses couldn't enter the promised land. But the two, Joshua and Caleb, who believed and followed enter the promised land, there are heads that are uncrossable. Hide under them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 5. They were baptized into Moses. From verse 1, please, to verse 4. They were baptized into Moses. Moses was their head. They were under. So when Balaam said, I curse you, then the head of Moses appeared. A leader is the head. That's why some of you have testified that you are faced with some fierce, horrible fight, and then you saw your spiritual fathers appear to you, either in a dream or even physically. A woman shared a testimony. Her house was almost getting caught up in fire, and according to her, she saw me stretch my hands towards the house and the fire was stopped. I wasn't there, but the Spirit of God took the spirit of the one that is set over her to stop that evil. Will you please stretch your hands here? By the authority that Jesus has given to me, as I stand on the platform of this commission, any devil that attempts to curse you will find their Waterloo in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of us met me yesterday sharing her testimony because she was suspended from work for quite a number of months. And somebody stood somewhere harassing her and others, acting as if there is nothing anybody can do. Suddenly, God stretched his hand and got the person off. Don't play with this God. And don't joke with the prophetic covering over your head. And don't let any devil drive you away from it. Your prophet may not need you, but you always need your prophet. Bishop Oyedepo may never need me, but I need him. Moses didn't need any of those children of God, but they needed him. They needed him. And that's why coming to church to receive this prophetic blessing is very vital. Very vital. We don't just teach you the word, we give you priestly blessing, prophetic blessings. Numbers chapter 6, you find it out there. From verse 22 to 27, how that the priests are commanded by God to be blessing the people. He said, this is what you'll be saying to them. And that's why we keep saying it to you. On this wise, you shall bless. You shall bless. One of the reasons God employed me to serve you is to bless you. And as I'm not tired of blessing you. That's why I urge you always wait for prophetic blessing before you run away from the church. Why? Because I'm speaking to your weak. So you get there on Monday, they are looking for you for employment.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I'm sure you have such testimony this morning. Somebody came to church on Sunday. And last Sunday we had testimony of a lady who came to the church for the first time the previous Sunday, looking for admission for about 10 years or more. That same day, she got her admission. Prophetic blessing. Don't joke with it. Why? Because the people who are cursing also have who help them to curse.
Am I saying something?
They go to their charm makers. They go to their enchanters. They go to their bookers. They go to places where... So you also, you have come to church to your charm maker.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In that wise, I am making charm for you. What's the instrument of the charm? The word of God is the instrument. The anointing is the instrument. The communion I give to you is the instrument. So you take your charm. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Now, I've told you, if they tell you that they drink blood in your church, don't argue. Just tell them, yes, it's true. We take blood in our church. Harass them. Tell them, it's true. We take blood in our church. Don't argue. If they tell you that in your church they use charm, tell them yes, in our church we use charm. What is our charm? The word of God. How do we use it? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Any tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn. Glory to God. And while they are wondering, is that the charm? Then you put something on top. Hallelujah. So you are living here with your charm this morning. And as they are making more noise, you stretch for your anointing and spray it in the air. And all the devils will begin to clear for you. Give Jesus a big hand, somebody out there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As I speak over your life today, every evil person being employed to destroy you, we bow in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. Get seated, please. This is the reason why, if you are not born again, you need to quickly do that this morning. Without Jesus, there is no life. Without Christ, you cannot escape crisis. Jesus is the way out of suffering, out of poverty, out of curses, out of failure. I love every one of you seated here this morning, but I cannot hide this from you. If you are not born again, Satan will make you suffer again. Let me tell you my story. I was a teenager. I was in church, zealous, committed, even in the choir. But I had not given my life to Jesus. I was playing religion. I had no joy. I had no peace. I had no fulfillment. I had no meaning. In case you are like that, why don't you open up to Jesus this morning? Or perhaps you are held down in certain sin, addiction. You're looking for freedom. You're looking for meaning. Please let the church pray with you today. You are so precious. I am not calling you a terrible sinner, neither is anyone condemning you. I'm only showing you the way to life. I know somebody will submit to Jesus this morning. If you are that person, please stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, please. Come and surrender your life to Jesus, whosoever you may be. Don't be proud. Don't shy away. Don't pretend. Don't assume that you are born again. God bless you. Stand to your feet, everybody, wherever you are. You want to give your life to Jesus? On the gallery, please. Please stand up. Now, those of you who have stood up, will you take a step? Come to the altar here quickly. Come to the altar. Carry your Bible, your bag, whatever you came to church with. Maybe you gave your life to Jesus before, but you are backslidden or you are backsliding. You are no longer zealous towards God. You are no longer eager to go to church, to read your Bible and other spiritual things. You want to be restored to the faith. Stand up as well and come. You find yourself in addiction. You don't like it, but you don't know how to be free. Come to Jesus. He will set you free now. God bless you, my good friend. A number of the converts we met in the course of the week are here this morning. God bless you. Come on quickly. Come on quickly. It's a new day for you. Come on. Come on right now. He will forgive you. Maybe you find yourself doing things that are not right. You find yourself doing wrong things, selling wrong things. Maybe you sell drugs. Maybe you sell ogogoro and any other thing that you know. Your heart is telling you this is wrong. This is not right. Stand up quickly. Run to Jesus this morning. He will have mercy on you. Oh my God. Clap your hands for Jesus, church. Step on here quickly. Wherever you are, stand up if you are yet to stand up. Come on here quickly. Help me clap for those who are running down. Some of them are running down right now, including women. Can you see that? God bless you. Are there that precious sister? Now, listen to me. All the people who have come to the altar here are not fools. They are wise. If you are still seated, you know you've not given your life to Jesus. I love you. This is why I'm taking my time. I don't know who you are, but I perceive there are still a number of people who are seated there, and you are one of them. You are one of them. I don't want to pray until you come out. Stand up now. Oh, yes.
I mean stand up now and run down here. Yes, do that right now. I know you will. God bless you, because you are not an hypocrite, because God sent you here this morning. Church, help me give them a big hand. If you are coming, hasten your step. Hasten your step. You are the one holding us down. God bless you. God bless you. What a day. Church, you know why I ask you to give Jesus some applause? Because this is what you have been praying for. Am I right? You've been praying for people to be saved, and God is saving them, so you cannot keep quiet. You have to thank God for it. Glory to God. Amen. Now, all of you at the altar, please bow your heads in prayer. My wonderful friends, bow your heads, please. If you can, lift up your right hand while you bow your head and say with me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me. Forgive my sins. Give me new life. Make me your child. Give me your power to follow you. Give me your joy. Give me your peace. Give me fulfillment. Write my name in the book of life. Make me a candidate of heaven. I will not go to hell. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, these souls are received into your kingdom today, and they will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your eyes. Are you happy you prayed the prayer? Say with me, I am now born again. God bless you. I would like you to allow church officials to talk to you briefly. And if you will, please, you go either to my right, all of you are this way, and this other side. God bless you. We love you. God bless you. Church, celebrate Jesus. He's worthy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All of these souls shall be established in the kingdom. Satan will have no influence on them. They will all appear in heaven when Jesus returns. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Satan, you have lost the battle already. These ones shall be established. Why? Because Jesus said, anyone the Father gives to me, no devil shall be able to take them from my hand. No Satan will take any of these ones from the hand of Jesus. They have come to the house of the Lord today, they shall remain in the house of the Lord. One more time, a big hand for Jesus, please. Good news. Next Sunday is our covenant day of fruitfulness. Covenant day of fruitfulness. Very important. We have testimonies to that effect. If you check the back of the handbill in your hand, all these handbills have been prayed over. You are going to use them to invite people. And I tell you something, this week, there is nobody you will invite that will say no to you. I thought you were saying amen to that. You must utilize our mandate. One winner, one soul, every week. In case you couldn't come to a soul, come with a soul to church today, next Sunday, you are coming with a soul. Say with me, I believe in the mandate. One winner, one soul, every week. Raise your hand and say, by the grace of God, next Sunday, I am coming with minimum one new convert, one invitee. Will you do that? Will you do that? You have prayed, God will honor the prayer. I'd like you to be passionately determined. Passionately determined. You have 6 days. You cannot say that within 6 days, you don't have who to invite, who to speak to about Jesus. No, that's not possible. No, that's not possible. This week, God will surprise you. There are some of you, you will bring 6 people to church next Sunday. Some others, you will bring 12 people to church next Sunday. In the precious name of Jesus. I'd like you also to launch out in soul winning outreach. God is working wonders every day. By the grace of God, our team this week God gave us 711 souls. Amen. That came to church. Last Sunday, among our converts, 200 of them came to church last Sunday with their friends. They came with their friends. So keep reaching out. Why? Jesus said, go and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. Luke 14:23. Go and bring them. Yours is to go and bring them. If you bring them, it will save them. Say amen, somebody. So please make sure you get everyone you need to get to come to church with you. And when you are coming next Sunday, and you tell your invitees also, come with a point of contact. Those who are believing God for miracle children, come with your baby items and fruitfulness in other areas of your life, business, career, and whatever. You come with a point of contact and God will visit you. On Wednesday, we'll be having preparatory session in prayer and fasting. Prayer breaks the yoke of barrenness. Fasting destroys every yoke. Let's get set. We'll be waiting on the Lord on Wednesday to come and partake of the blessing of the Lord, preparing us for next Sunday. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Please continue to follow up with new converts. Get them to attend the Believers Foundation class tomorrow. Get them to attend Winner Satellite Fellowship on Saturday. And of course, every church service. Do all you can to bring them into church. Arrange for their transportation and engage them in the blessing of the Lord. Please note, every Wednesday, we have free transportation to take people back after the services. That's what we do every Wednesday. And of course, we'll be blessing the communion and receiving the blessing of the Lord. We'll be having healing rally on Wednesday. So tell the sick to come with you to receive the blessing of the Lord. This week will be your sweetest week ever. Please don't fail to get the books of the month displayed on the screen, available there, out there in the bookstore. Get the teachings and CDs of each service, especially on the subject of healing. And of course, don't fail to get Your Miracles Are Real, our weekly publication. It's a new day for you. You are blessed in Jesus' name. How many of you had the announcement of new couples for this month? That's how very soon they will announce you as an eligible single. Those of you that have some plague around your family, delay marriages and everything of such, get set. After today's anointing, there shall be no more delay for you. Very soon, I will be here blessing you at Thanksgiving service. All the youths in the house, you have been told of your meeting, very special meeting at the end of the third service today. Please make sure you are part of it and be blessed. Now, please rise to your feet. Glory to God. The prayer raid continues every day. Did you hear somebody's testimony? He came here on Monday for the morning raid, began to circulate the handbills. By Tuesday, secured a job. Somebody has said, I rededicated my life to Jesus. I began to pray kingdom advancement prayer. They called me back to work, and then they gave me a new job. Look, you put your head inside serving God. It will amaze you the wonders that will take place in your life. 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. every day, Monday to Friday. Start it tomorrow. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Now you will receive the anointing to destroy every curse in your life. Say amen to that, somebody. As we get set to pray this prayer, if you are worshiping the first time ever at Living Faith Church Goshen, the entire church would like to pray for you. Can I request you therefore to leave where you are, come to the altar, take a step to the altar. This is your first time worshiping Living Faith Church. Don't leave anything behind, your bag, your Bible, your cap, your telephone, your wallet, and come with children. In case you came with children to church this morning, you come with them out here at the altar. Now, as we are receiving them, those who are coming and all of us, I'd like us to plead for God's mercy over your family, over your life. Would somebody like to do that? Father, show us mercy. Pray that prayer loud right now. Pray for mercy. Mercy will clean up every mess. Mercy is the answer to every mess of life. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Father, grant me mercy. Grant mercy to my family. Somebody pray. Ah, if you call for mercy, He will show up. He will clean up every mess. That mess over your child, that mess over your husband, that mess over your wife,
He will clean up the mess. Somebody pray. Somebody raise your voice. Call for God's mercy. You may not know where the arrows are coming from, but you can call for mercy. 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 Call for mercy. God will not turn back the cry for mercy. He will not turn back the cry for mercy. Receive mercy today. Receive mercy today. Receive mercy today. Father, have mercy on me. Father, have mercy on my family. Have mercy on me. Cleanse away my error. Cleanse away my iniquity. Cleanse away my wrongdoings. Have mercy. I repent today, Lord. And I will not go back. I will not go back. I will not touch evil again. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. I pronounce God's mercy on you today. Whatever mess that you have found yourself in, God's mercy will clean them up for you now. And this week, you are going to see the sign of God's mercy. Now listen. After mercy finishes its works, grace comes upon people. Mercy cleans the mess, and grace fills up your life. Mercy will clean you up, and then grace will fill you up. Watch it. This week, your life will become gracious. Mercy will clean you up, and grace will fill you up. And grace is the ultimate of God's blessing. Grace. Grace will bring healing. Grace will bring joy. Grace will bring favor. Grace will bring fulfillment. Today I decree that God will turn you into a vessel of mercy. And grace will fill you up in the name of Jesus. If you have done anything wrong, evil, iniquity, and wickedness, forgiveness is given to you today. As you receive this anointing today, take a portion of the oil in your hand, either on your palm or on your fingertip. If you don't have, you'll be helped by your neighbors and pastors around. Give a portion to your neighbor, please. After David was anointed, favor came upon his life. Today, favor will come upon your life. Today, this anointing oil will communicate blessing to you. Psalm 65, verse 8. This is going to be a mark of blessing. I'm sorry, please. Isaiah 65, verse 8. Thus said the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one said, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them. Today, as you receive this anointing, the mark of blessing comes upon your head. From today, anywhere you appear, destruction shall leave you. Anywhere you appear, destruction will disappear. God who keeps me from evil will keep you from evil. God who protects me from danger will protect you from every danger. God who will not let my head answer to charms and enchantment will never allow your head to answer to them again. From now, evil will look for you and will not find you.
from today, they will look for your children and not find your children. If they call your name to any oracle from today, those oracles will be shattered. By reason of God's mercy upon your life, the next thing that will happen to you will be grace upon grace. Favor upon favor. And that will be your story this week. Now, this anointing is placed on your head to establish the blessing in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now raise your voice and begin to thank God, praying the Holy Ghost right now. I say raise your voice and pray. Don't pray gentleman's prayer. Pray loud. Declare your deliverance. Declare your freedom. Declare your blessing. Declare grace, 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 grace upon me. Grace upon my life. Grace, 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 grace. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. So shall it be. Jesus' wonderful name. Are you happy you came this morning? Our wonderful friends, we are so delighted to welcome all of you into this service this morning. You are invited and you came. God will honor you. In Jesus' precious name. Stay with us in our services. Perhaps this is the place you have been praying for that God will lead you to. Now that you are here, stay on. Come on Wednesday. Come next Sunday. Come the Sunday after. If you don't see changes in your life, you are free not to come again. But I can tell you, something good is happening to you already. God bless you. We love you. Church, would you like to let them know how much we love them? Tell them we love you. God bless you. Please allow our church officials to talk to you briefly. A few minutes before you leave the premises, from the middle to my right and to my left. God bless you. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Now lift up your bottle of oil, everybody. I decree today that as you partake of this anointing oil, every stranger dwelling inside your system will be flushed out in Jesus' name. As you take a shot of this, it becomes liquid fire. Liquid fire. Every planting that is not of God shall be uprooted from you today. I deliver this to you as a toast for your divine health. As you take a shot right now in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Take a shot of this oil right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. You are totally free. If you will return to share your testimony, say loud amen. Now I decree that this bottle in your hand of holy anointing oil becomes instrument of life. Amen. Instrument of power. Amen. So shall it be. Amen. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Don't forget, 8 a.m. tomorrow, 5 p.m., we'll be having prayer in all of our prayer centers, including Goshen. Now, please do this with me before you go. Will you like to pray for God's mercy over Nigeria? You like to do that? You like to do that? We are face to face with mess every day by insensitive governance, people in authority, insensitive, causing destruction every day, taking away competence and replacing them with mediocrity. We need God's mercy. What do we need as a nation? There must be divine intervention, turning other people from other parts of the nation into slavery. We need divine help. We need divine intervention. And come 2019, God will give us deliverance. God will give us deliverance. Employing and appointing people, whether they are qualified or not, from a particular section of the nation, turning other people in other geopolitical zones into slaves, as if they are undoes, as if they don't know what they are doing. Every such evil must be ended in this nation. Every such evil must not continue in this nation. If you like, call it hate speech.
It will be hate speech for as long as you are giving us hate treatment. You can't be hating Christians and expect us to be quiet. We will never be quiet. Never be silent. Never. There is no cowardice in the church because the church is standing by the truth. The church is standing by. Come 2019, we will not vote for people who want to turn us into slaves. We will not. We will not. And I like you church people to stand by the truth. Stand by the truth. Because we are doing that not only for our generation, but for generations to come. Stand by the truth. Many of you here have been robbed and denied of what belongs to you simply because you are Christians. Simply because you are not from the corners. Let's call spade spade. Let's tear the cloth on the face of the masquerade. Call it what it is. It is not politics. It is religious hatred. And I can tell you, this is not new. It's an agenda being planned to Islamize this nation, to colonize this nation by a particular tribe. But as the Lord lives, it will not stand. As the Lord lives, it will not continue. As the Lord lives, it shall not prosper. For concerning the church, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Wherever evil is being perpetrated against the church, fire will fall. I say fire will fall. I say fire will fall. In the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, please raise your voice just a few seconds. Father, show us mercy in this nation. Pray that prayer right now. Show us mercy. 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 Fight for your church. Show us mercy. Fight for your church. Fight for your church. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name, we are praying. In a situation where no other person matters, except you are from the corners, no matter what you know, whether you are from the west or from middle belt or from south south or from southeast, you don't matter. Is that a nation? No. It's no longer one nation. It's slavery of other people. You're taking things from them and taking them for granted. Slavery. But Jesus, who lives as the head of the church, will not only defend the church, but he would defend the different nations within the nation. He would defend other ethnic groups. Because what is being attempted is ethnic cleansing. Let's wipe them off. All the communities that they have driven people from in Plateau State, they are now invading the place with Kaoriare. Let's wake up. The Jesus Christ, the head of the church, will defend this church. The church of Jesus will see the end of evil. Nobody ever wins against the church. With this prophetic voice, under the prophetic voice of my fathers, I declare it shall be well with Nigeria. Come 2019, there will be clear direction for the nation. Please hear this again. Let me say it far ahead of time. Election is next year, but begin to think. You must vote only in the interest of the church. Only in the interest of the church. Whatever party, anyone that is there defending the interest of the church, that's what you should go for. Amen? You are told before, don't vote for haters of the church. Many of us took it ignorantly and took it personally. You can see the effect of it right now. I hope you'll be wiser next time. Now let's share the goodness of our Lord in fellowship. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. It's my new dawn era. What eyes have not seen nor ears heard shall be the order of the day in my life this year. Congratulations. Amen and amen. Choir, the next 2 minutes, you start your praise. Service has commenced. The next 2 minutes, 10:44.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. This morning.